Good morning to you all, and welcome to TBC Virtual Church. First off this morning, I'm going to read a psalm. It's Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Over the past 6 weeks, we've been looking at the letters of John. Today, we arrive at the conclusion of our series as we consider John's third and final letter. Our thoughts centre on his advice to stay faithful. So that's today's theme, stay faithful. But first, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God whose love is unfailing and that your faithfulness continues to each generation. So we know that even now you are faithful. And we pray that as we delve into John's third letter, then you will speak to us. You will speak to our minds. You will speak to our hearts. May we be open to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we were reminded at the outset of this series, and Pete underlined only last week, that John was writing to the churches in order to protect believers from wrong teachings, from falsehoods that were creeping into the early church. And of course, these could easily lead people astray. So John's desire was to encourage them to focus on Jesus, to focus on him and the apostles' teaching concerning him. So in week one, we were reminded that God is light. And because of that, his word, be it the Bible or Jesus, the word made flesh, will illuminate our path and will guide our footsteps, just like a decent torch in the darkness. On week two, we thought about the challenge, indeed the command of Jesus to love one another. A new command I give you, that you love one another. May all men know by this your love for one another, that you are my disciples. So our love for one another should be a reflection of Jesus and the Father in our own lives. Week 3, we considered the honour that we have to be children of God. Behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called children of God? And that is what we are, writes John earlier on. Adopted into his family, we have a wonderful sense of security in our identity, of who we are in him. His family, his children. On week 4, we spent time focusing on the love of God and the inescapable truth that God is love. Week 5 was entitled Faith and Life. And that saw us challenged to grapple with the fact that faith, our faith, should impact our lives and the way we live, revealing something of the light of Jesus in and among our communities. And then week 6 was a warning to be alert. Be alert to falsehoods, to test the spirit behind words, behind deeds, and to weigh behaviour against that indefinable agape love of God revealed so completely in Jesus. So in these short letters, we've covered much ground. And today we wrap up with a call to stay faithful. Faithful to all those qualities we have looked at in the previous weeks. And that's how John closes his discourse in this, his final letter, John 3. 3 John, sorry. 3 John. And Anne is going to read it to us now.
Greetings. This letter is from John the Elder. I am writing to Gaius, my dear friend, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you, and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Some of the travelling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the travelling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are travelling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. I wrote to the church about this, and Diotheses, who loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us. When I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusations he is making against us. Not only does he refuse to welcome the travelling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him, and you know we speak the truth. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to write it with pen and ink, for I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. Your friends here send you their greetings. Please give my personal greetings to each of our friends there.
Now, you will note straight away that, unlike the other letters of John that we have looked at, this one is written to an individual rather than to a church. It's intended for Gaius, who John refers to as his friend. And it's written for his encouragement, and it's written for his guidance. Two other characters are mentioned in this letter as well. A guy called Diotrephes and another one, Demetrius. Now, I'm told this is also the only book in the New Testament that doesn't mention Jesus by name. In the version that Anne read to us, he's referred to as Lord. And in other versions, other translations, the word the name, or the phrase the name, is used. Now, though Jesus isn't mentioned by name in this letter, it is full of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's undergirded by the values of Jesus and the spirit of Jesus, even though his name isn't mentioned. And you know, so often in our workaday, everyday lives, in that busyness and focus on what life entails, we're not constantly mentioning the name of Jesus. And yet he is present. He is present with us by his Holy Spirit. And our lives are imbued and empowered by that presence of the Spirit of Jesus. And hopefully we pray that Jesus might sort of, can I say, leak out of us through the day, touching the lives of other people with whom we normally and naturally come into contact. Anyway, that's a by the way, but an important by the way, the presence of Jesus, even when he's not mentioned. Now, I suppose because there are three characters in this reading, this is a crazy thought, really, but I'm immediately reminded of the children's story of the three little pigs. And you will remember one built a house of straw, one built a house of sticks, I think it was, and the other one built a house out of brick. So when the big bad wolf came along, he huffed and he puffed and he blew down the house of straw. And the house of sticks went the same way as he turned his attention to that construction. But the house of brick stood solid and firm, unshifting. Of course, the situation in this letter differs to our children's story, in that though there are three central characters, only one is building of flimsy material that's likely to collapse in the storms of life. The other two are constructing solidly on firm foundations that will stand the test of time. And you'll remember Jesus himself uses a parable to illustrate the same danger. Matthew 7, we read of two builders. And Jesus concludes his parable, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. He is like a person who built a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. In this parable, both builders have listened, hearkened Jesus. They've heard his teaching. But one of them has then ignored it with disastrous consequences. He'd failed to stay faithful to the master's instructions. He'd failed to follow the advice that Jesus had given. He'd failed to build in the light of what he had heard. In our reading in John, in 3 John, each of the characters, as far as we know, have professed faith in Jesus. However, two are applauded by John, and the other one causes him great sadness. Why is this? What has gone wrong? And I guess in a nutshell, we can say two have remained faithful, but one has failed to stay faithful. Faithful to the gospel he's received, which is all about Jesus. Jesus at the center. As the song has it, Jesus be the center. So let's briefly consider these three little piggies. First off, we've got Gaius. And we quickly learn three things about him, along with the fact that he's also in good health. So we learn, one, he is strong in spirit, spiritually strong. Two, he is faithful. Three, his life matches his faith. He lives it out. He walks the talk, as they say. And this can be observed in his welcome and in his support for the travelling teachers that we read about. Those moving around to teach and strengthen and encourage the church, backed and supported by the apostles. We know there were false teachers as well. But we get the impression that Gaius is a man of discernment and he welcomes teachers of truth. And in fact, Gaius is demonstrating many of the aspects of the Christian life that we have considered throughout the series. He shines out for God. He obeys the command to love. He's secure in his identity as a child of God. He knows that God is love. He demonstrates that love in the way he lives. He's alert to those around him. He remains faithful to the truth. And the result of this is that it fills John with joy. No wonder he commends him. But Gaius' faithful life exposes the falsehood and pretense of the life of Diotrephes. And he's the second character that we look at. And rather than bringing John joy, he brings great sadness. Now, apparently, he's leader of the church. Or if he's not the leader, he thinks he should be the leader. And it is possible that he's one of those very strong characters with ideas in the church which are causing great upset and friction. And certainly we know that his behavior is causing division rather than building unity. And of course that is always suspect. He refuses advice from the Apostle John. Not only does he refuse advice, he won't have anything to do with him. We know that John has written to him, and it's as if John is now writing to Gaius to sort of forewarn him. And not only that, but he'll have nothing to do either with the travelling teachers, he will not welcome them, and he instructs the members not to help them, and goes so far as dismissing from the church those who do help these travellers. Sadly, it looks as if the light of God is no longer illuminating the path of Demetrius. The master's command to love goes ignored. Insecurity in his identity as a child of God, he clings to imagined power as leader. The truth that God is love appears forgotten. He may talk the talk, but he fails to walk the walk. He fails to demonstrate it in action. He's alert only to his own concerns and his own situation. In short, there is a failure to stay faithful. And the outcome of such poor leadership is confusion and disunity amongst the local believers, isolation from the wider church who's reaching out to him in fellowship, and an unhelpful reputation, no doubt, amongst the local community. He comes to us as a warning, a challenge to each of us concerning our attitudes and our behaviour. John's advice is clearly stated in verse 11. Dear friend, he says, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children, and those who do evil prove that they do not know God. And the same advice comes to us. I paraphrase, dear friends, don't let bad examples influence you. Follow only what is good. Follow only what is good. And that brings us to our third and last of our characters, little pig number three, I suppose, Demetrius. It's considered by some commentators that he may even have been the deliverer of John's letter to Gaius. But be that as it may, in one short sentence, he receives a threefold commendation. Verse 12, everyone speaks highly of Demetrius, as does the truth itself. We ourselves can say the same for him. And you know we speak the truth. So, one, everyone speaks highly of him. Two, the truth itself speaks highly of him. Three, John and his associates also speak highly of him. Here is a man who, unlike Diotrephes, but like Gaius, has remained faithful to the call of God on his life, and he seeks to walk in the steps of his master, Jesus. He is highly thought of by all, and he is a blessing to all. An encouragement to all. And as we conclude this series, we are both challenged and encouraged to stay faithful. Faithful to the God who called us, and to the gospel we received, that we may also be like Gaius, like Demetrius, a blessing to our church fellowship, a blessing to our families, and a blessing to our communities. Shedding light, showing love, obedient to the Master, enriched by the love of Father, serving others, alert to falsehoods, but also alert to the possibilities, faithful in all things. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to be true to you, walking the path you illuminate for us, loving as you loved us, rejoicing as your children, reflecting your love, living to serve, always alert, faithful in all things, for the sake of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for joining with us today. Have a good day and a good week. God bless you all.